number 6, John chapter 6, and we'll read verse number 37, and we may use your Bibles a little bit tonight, just keep them handy. My subject matter tonight is the 7 I wills of Christ. You know, in our lives, oftentimes we have people that will tell us that they're going to do something. We perform marriages and couples commit themselves to a lifelong relationship, and yet sometimes that doesn't happen, and they break their vows, and you can't depend on really a lot of times when people tell you, I will do this or I will do that. But I'm so thankful tonight that when we come to Jesus Christ, he said, there's some things that I believe that we can trust that he said when he said, I will. I will. I'll tell you, I was talking to a man earlier this week who told me, he said, Pastor, the doctor tells me that I need to get my house in order. He says, I've got an affliction that's going to take my life. I don't know exactly when, but he said it probably will not be long. And the doctor said that I need to make my will, and I need to get things ready, and if I've got any special plans, then I need to follow through and get everything in order, because what you have is serious. And he asked me something about his salvation, and of course this man is a Christian, and he says it really makes you examine your faith and yourself to see really if your faith is genuine. And really to have the assurance that all will be well when you come down to that moment. Because when you think about dying, when you think about meeting God before long, you want to be sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember as I was flying over on the plane to Vietnam, and I didn't know if I would come back or not. But I knew that in my heart, there were some promises from the Lord that I could depend on. And I knew that with Jesus Christ as my Savior, I could pin my hopes on Him, and I really wouldn't have to worry too much about all the rest. And I found that the Lord will bring you through, and the Lord's grace is sufficient for whatever need may arise. I've found God's promises to be true. And tonight I want to just quickly, briefly, but hopefully clearly give you 7 I wills of Christ that hopefully will help us to rejoice in our salvation and have a confidence in our Lord that situations and afflictions and losses and crosses cannot dissolve, just to have faith in Christ, to believe what he said is true. In John 6:37, a very familiar passage of Scripture, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. When a man says, I'll do something, it may not mean much, but when we come to the I wills of Christ, I believe he means to fulfill every promise he's ever made to mankind. Everything he has promised to do, he is able and he is willing to accomplish. And so my first I will tonight has to do with salvation. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now some people may say, well, I'm not good enough to come. My life is too dark. It's too bad. It's too complicated. I've done too much. I've had people tell me, Pastor, I've broken all 10 of the commandments. How in the world can Christ forgive me? How can I be assured of my salvation? I want you to keep in mind tonight that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to save the righteous. The Bible says Christ came into the world to save sinners. Sinners like you and like me. And all have gone astray. Everyone has turned unto his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But listen to this, I will. It goes right to the heart. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, I believe that statement is broad enough to let everyone in that comes to Jesus Christ in sincerity and in truth. Don't you? I don't believe the Lord will turn away one. It matters not who the man or woman is, what their trials, their troubles, their sorrows, their guilt, their sin. If they will only come straight to the Lamb of God, He will not cast them out. The invitation is for all sinners to come. Come just as you are, as the song says, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. O Lamb of God, I come, I come. If you will come thusly, you can be saved. He will take those so full of sin that they are despised by everybody who knows them. Those who are rejected by their father, by their mother, by their brothers, by their sister, by husband or wife. He will take those who have sunk so low that no eye pities them. The occupation of Jesus is to seek and to save that which was lost. He left heaven, came to this world to do exactly that. And this is what He left the throne of God for, to save sinners. He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I remember reading about a young man. He was a wicked young man, wild. One of these kind that you think would be running with a gang. And I mean, he just so wild and mean-spirited. But he was running a headlong career to ruin. But he came to a revival meeting one night, and the Spirit of God got a hold of him, and he came forward. And the preacher said to him, "Do you believe that Christ said, 'Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out'?" Well, he said, "Well, I suppose he did." "Suppose he did. Do you believe it?" "Well, I hope so." "You hope so." "Do you believe it? You do the work, and Christ will, you do your work, Christ will do His. Come to Christ, He will not cast you out." Amen? It was past midnight that night before the light finally dawned upon that young man, but finally he got down on his knees, prayed the sinner's prayer, and was gloriously saved. You're not going to get out of the devil's territory without trouble. He will come to you later. He'll tell you, "You don't really think you got saved, do you? It was just all emotion. You can't believe that. You were just all worked up. Surely you just imagined you were accepted by God." But listen tonight, church, don't fight Satan by your opinion. Don't use your opinions, but with the very Word of God. I think it'd be good, if you're prone to doubt about your salvation, just to take John 6:37 and write it on the fly leaf of your Bible, where Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And you just put on there the date that you came down to Jesus Christ and you asked Him to save you. And the next time the devil tempts you and causes you to doubt, just go get your Bible and open it up and stick his nose in it and say, "Hey, now, devil, look at that. Jesus said I was saved, that nobody that come to Him would be cast out. I've come to Christ. And I'm going to take Him at His word that He will save me. He will not cast me out." Well, you may say, "Well, preacher, well, what if the translators made a mistake?" You know, you got some people saying that today. Well, just believe it anyway. Believe it anyway. When you get to heaven, tell the Lord that you didn't make the mistake, the translators did. Amen. You just believe it to be the Word of God. It was said of Jesus, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And Jesus responded, "To whom much is forgiven, the same loveth much." I remember reading the story about John Bunyan. He was just a poor Bedford tinker. And while he was on earth, men would not allow him into their homes or their businesses. And yet Bunyan was made one of the mightiest instruments in the spread of the gospel of his day. His book, Pilgrim's Progress, is still being read. As a matter of fact, in past history, it has been required reading in many schools and colleges. And him, just a poor Bedford tinker, just a gypsy kind of a person. But so it is with God. He can pick up some poor lost tramp and make him an instrument to turn hundreds of thousands to Jesus Christ. Amen? God is like that. God can work miracles. George Whitefield was standing in his tabernacle in London one day. Multitude was gathered around him, and he cried out, "The Lord Jesus will save the devil's castaways." There were two poor, immoral street women standing outside. And they heard him say that, and looking at each other, they said, "Well, that must mean you and me." And they wept. They drew near and they looked in at the door of the tabernacle, and as the tears streamed down the face of the preacher as he pled with the people to give their hearts to Christ, one of the women wrote a note and sent it to George Whitefield as the service was concluding. Later that day, as Whitefield sat at the table of Lady Huntington, who was his special friend, someone asked, "Mr. Whitefield, did you not go a little too far today when you said that the Lord would save the devil's castaways?" Simply taking the note out of his pocket, Mr. Whitefield asked the lady to read it. And she read these words. "Mr. Whitefield, two poor lost women stood outside your tabernacle today and heard you say that the Lord would save the devil's castaways. We seized upon that as our last hope, and we write you this to tell you that we rejoice now in believing in him. And from this good hour, we shall endeavor to serve him who has done so much for us." Amen. Jesus said, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Amen. That let you in, didn't it? Let you in, didn't it? And that let me in. "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Then there's the "I will" of cleansing. In Luke 5:13, we read of a leper who came to Christ, and the Lord, and he says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the Bible says the leprosy left him. Now, if any person defiled with the leprosy of sin will but go to the master and tell him your situation, he will hear and he will speak to you as he did to that poor leper. It is the Lord and the Lord alone who can forgive sins. And if you will say to him, "Lord, I am full of sin, and I know thou canst make me clean. Lord, I have a terrible temper, and thou canst make me clean. Lord, I have a deceitful heart. Please cleanse me. Oh, Lord, please give me a new heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Give me the power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Lord, I have this unclean habit. Give me victory." I tell you tonight, if you will in humility and sincerity come to Jesus Christ, you will hear the voice, "I will, be thou clean." and it will be done. 1 John 1:9 declares, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much unrighteousness, Pastor? All unrighteousness. What have you done? What is it that's broken your heart? What is it that's broken the hearts of your loved ones and your friends? Confess it to Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive, and He will. And then thirdly, there is the I will of confessing Him. In Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. We're not ashamed of the Son of God. We tell His love to others. Folks, tonight, if somebody had saved you from drowning, you wouldn't be ashamed of that person, would you? You would be singing their praises. We love to tell what Christ has done for us because He has saved us from our sins. And then Christ tells what we have done for Him, and it's such a great honor to achieve something that causes His name to be praised. I think about reading a piece about China. The highest ambition of the successful soldier in China is to have his name written in the palace or the temple of Confucius. But just think of having your name mentioned in the kingdom of heaven by the Prince of Glory. Amen? He said, if you'll confess me, I'll confess you. Amen? You confess Him here, He will confess you yonder. I think that's a pretty good deal, don't you? Amen? Amen. We're living in a day when men want religion without a cross. They want a crown, but not the cross. Jesus said, if any man will be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Not once a year, not once a week, but daily. Daily. A lot of folks are ashamed of Jesus. They don't want to take up their cross and follow Him. They don't want to be identified with Him. There are some people, there are some parents who are ashamed for their children to see them reading the Bible. Some wives are ashamed for their husbands to see them reading the Bible. Some people are ashamed to say, I can't go to that place. It's the wrong environment. Some people are afraid or ashamed to be seen on their knees. It's time to come out and to take your stand and confess the Lord Jesus. Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, still, evening and morning and at noon, 3 times a day, he would kneel on his knees with the windows open toward Jerusalem and pray. In a foreign heathen country, he still prayed. He still prayed. In the Vietnam War, I was surprised that there were so many men who would go into battle without trembling, but who did not have the courage to take out their Bibles and read them, did not have the courage to kneel and pray. It's like some people think that to be identified as a Christian would be a sign of weakness. It's not a sign of weakness, church. It's a sign of strength. Amen. When you're willing to stand up for the Lord God Almighty. And let me tell you, when you're willing to stand up for Him, He will stand up for you. Amen. Amen. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Number four, there's the I will of service. Many have been quickened by the Spirit and aroused to say, hey, I want to do something for Jesus Christ. And I appreciate so much the response to the message Sunday night as we preached. And people gather around this altar to where there was hardly any standing room and praying and asking God to use them to start just a little fire in their own life and in their own family and in their own among their friends and to use them in a special way. Many are saying, I want to do something for Jesus. Jesus, use me. Christ said this. He said, follow me, and here's another I will. He said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Somebody said, if we're not fishing, we're not following. Because Christ said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I will make. It's the Greek word poio. It means to qualify. It means to endow with a certain quality. There is no Christian who cannot help to bring someone to the Savior. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Our business is to lift up Jesus Christ. Peter followed, Peter obeyed, and we see the result on Pentecost. I doubt if he ever caught so many fish as he did that day. I read where the nets break when he caught off, 151 or something, and the nets break at that, but here 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. Peter had done changed his fishing hole. He's now fishing for men. And the Master is bringing them in. If we'll lift up the Savior, he will save them. I read some time ago of a man who traveled on a stagecoach. And even then, there were first and second and third class passengers. And you wonder, how in the world can that be? How can you be a first and second and third class passenger on a stagecoach? Everybody sat together without any distinction whatever till they came to the hill. And the coach stopped. The driver called out, first class passengers, keep your seat. Second class, get out and walk. Third class passengers, get out and push. Now, in the church, you'll find all three kinds of passengers. You'll find those who just want to, you know, they think salvation makes an easy ride all the way. And there's another class of people who are carried most of the time and who, when they must work, do so grudgingly with their heart never really helping their fellows along. But all church members ought to be like the third class passenger. All church members ought to be ready to dismount and push with a will to get the job done, with a desire and a heart burning fervently to see the church advanced and the kingdom of God increased. Wouldn't you say so? Wouldn't you say so? Amen? Amen. When I was in the Army, yeah, you respected those leaders who barked orders and knew what to do and knew how to get the job done, and they could give orders. But then when the going really got tough, you also appreciated those same leaders getting down into the foxhole and down into the mud and the muck of the battlefield and fighting right alongside of you. There comes a time when every one of us needs to put our shoulder to the plow. Every one of us need to enlist in the battle and do our best to win the victory. John Wesley, his definition of a church was all at it and always at it. Every Christian ought to be a worker. Might not be a preacher, evangelist, but you can be useful even in your business relations and with your friends and associates. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God uses the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. Here is one of Christ's promissory notes when he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." I've had teenagers to come to me and say, "Pastor, would you tell me how I can win people to Jesus Christ?" And I'd sit down with them and show them the Romans Road and give them the scriptures and try to instruct them on how to win someone to Christ. Moody said, "I believe it's the privilege of God's children to reap the fruit of their labor 365 days in the year. Sow with one hand and reap with the other. We must lift Christ up and then seek men and women, boys and girls out and bring them to Him. The world needs a Savior. This perishing world needs Christ and Him crucified, risen, and coming again. We need to get the message out." I'm glad when Paul was put in prison that he didn't sit down and fold his hands and say, "There's nothing more I can do." What did Paul do? He began to write. And his letters have come down through the ages and have been the reason that thousands have come to believe in Jesus Christ. The devil probably thought he did a wise thing to imprison Paul, but he overdid it for once. I have no doubt Paul has been thanking God ever since for that Philippian jail and for his stripes and his imprisonments. Because through all of that, he was a fisher of men. "Follow me," Christ said. "I will make you fishers of men." Number five, there's the "I will" of comfort. John 14:18, "I will not leave you comfortless." In other words, he's going to comfort those who are his children. Here's a sweet thought to note that we have not been left alone in this dark wilderness below. Christ is saying, "I'm not going to leave you orphans." Our Lord did not leave Joseph when they cast him into prison. He did not leave Daniel in the den of lions. He did not leave the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. If we have Christ with us, Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." We lift up our eyes to Him who has all power in heaven and in earth. Some of our children and friends leave us, and it's a sad hour. But thank God the believer in Christ are never separated. He is with us here one day, and one day by and by we shall see the King in His beauty, and we shall be with Him forevermore. The Holy Spirit is with us now to reveal His presence and power in the life of the believer, to convict, to teach, to guide. He said, Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And as Dr. Jack Green used to say, you can even say that backwards. "Thee forsake nor thee leave, never will I." Frontwards or backwards, it means the same thing. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Number six, there's the "I will" of the resurrection. John 6:40. "I will raise him up at the last day." It occurs four times in that chapter. And we rejoice to think that our Savior has power over death, that He has the keys of death and hell. I pity the unbeliever. I pity the infidel who has no hope in the resurrection. Any child of God can open this book and read and rejoice. You know, a businessman puts his best specimens in the windows to show the quality of his stock. Christ gave us a specimen of what He could do. While I was here, I read there were at least three from the dead that He raised that we might know that He could do it. There was Jairus' daughter, there was the widow's son, and there was Lazarus at Bethany. How dark and gloomy this world would be if we had no hope in the resurrection. But now when we lay our little children in the grave, it is in sorrow, but not without hope. We have seen these little ones pass away. We've seen even our loved ones, older people, and the terrible struggle with death. But there has been one star to illumine the darkness and the gloom. The thought that though the circle has been broken on earth, it shall be completed again in the world of heavenly light, in that city where we'll never grow old. Amen. You who have lost a loved one, rejoice. Those who've died in Christ shall come forth by and by, and that new body shall be united with that spirit coming back with the Lord Jesus only a little while, and he who has said it shall come, his voice shall be heard in the grave, and I will raise him up at the last day, Jesus said. Precious promise. Precious promise. I love my dad. I guess I loved him more than any other man on earth. But I had to say goodbye to my father here. I got the call around 2 a.m. one morning, Sunday morning, and my brother Robbie said, Dad's going on to be with the Lord. I left here and went back to Marshville to bury my father. He's with the Lord now in spirit, I believe. But to think of the promise, I will raise him up at the last day. My dad's going to get a glorified, he's going to get a new body. Fashioned like unto the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about that, and that brings hope and cheer to my soul. It brightens my hope for the future. Oh, the promise. The promises of Christ. Not the least of which is when he said, I will raise him up at the last day. And then finally, there's the I will of glory. John 17:24, Jesus is praying, and he says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The last night before he was crucified on Calvary, he prayed those words. It's wonderful to receive Christ as Savior, but one day we shall see the King in his beauty. That day's coming. There is in the future a glorious day for the Christian. Today we have salvation for the past, peace for the present, but there's a glory for the future in store for every child of God. That's what kept Paul rejoicing. He called them light afflictions, which were for a moment. A few stripes, a few brickbats, a few stones. And he said, why, the glory that is beyond excels them so much that I count them as nothing. Nothing at all. So that I may win Christ. So, church, when things go against us, cheer up. Remember that the night will soon pass away and the morning will dawn. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Sickness and sorrow and pain and tears are banished from that heavenly land. You may be weeping tonight. Your heart may be breaking. But I promise you one day, if you stand true to Christ, one day in a land that is glorious, in a land where nothing can mar the glory and the grandeur of that place, we shall be with our Master by and by. God's family will all be together there. Glorious day. And we may be nearer to it than any of us think. During these few days we are here, let's stand steadfast and firm, and by, we shall be in the unbroken circle in that city of light, and have the King in our midst. This last I will is so wonderful, revealing the love and the purpose of Jesus our Savior. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Seven I wills of Christ. But it all begins with him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Amen. If you've not come to Jesus tonight, come. He will save you. That's his promise to you. Come and receive it. Let's stand, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, thank you tonight for your love to us, and I pray that if there's one here this evening who's not sure of their salvation, I pray that tonight they will simply come and believe this I will of Christ when you have said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May they come tonight, Lord, and may they be saved, gloriously saved, in Jesus' name.